اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا محافظا وقائدا مناصرا ودليلا معينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك تبقى وتمتعه فيها طويلا. It's a mas'ala again. Yesterday it was mentioned about the seafood, and there were questions as to whether or not it's halal to consume. Octopus, jellyfish and all that is haram. From the seafood, only fish which have scales on it and prawns, only these two are an exception for you to consume. Even lobsters, crabs, seahorses and all that, it's all haram. You cannot. It's only fish with scales on it, and the fish has to die out of the water. If the fish dies out of the water and it has scales on it, it's halal for you to eat. Size of the fish doesn't matter, whether it's tiny, whether it's huge, whether it's large. If it has scales on it, it is halal. Everything else apart from these two creatures living in the oceans and in water, everything else is haram. Now when it means haram, it doesn't mean it's najis. If, for example, a fish dies out of the water, if you have a crab, if you have a seahorse and it has died, if someone touches it, it's not najis. So it's not najis like every other bird or animal which is slaughtered not in the way of Allah, that will become najis. So regarding these animals or creatures living in the ocean and water, anything which has scales on it, any fish which has scales on it and prawns, only these two are an exception. Returning to this noble wasiyya of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam to his son Imam al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. Imam here talks about controlling the heart. If you recall your memories, initially it started that there are some moods for the heart. It has different phases. Sometimes happy, sometimes sad, sometimes upset, sometimes disturbed, sometimes jolly, and all these different halat and moods were mentioned for the heart. Now Imam says that how do you control your heart? There are some tips for that. First of all, he says that bits the dam al haram. That is, Imam, he twists the whole thing and brings it to this point, says that the worst of foods is that which is sought from haram. So as if haram sustenance, haram risk, it affects the heart first, that is the initial attack which it has. Now like the food and drinks we have in this world, if you have a healthy meal, it nourishes the body and it will give you energy and you can sustain, you can survive and you can work for longer hours. But if that food was a white brand food, for example, it wasn't organic, it wasn't good, it was just some fast food, then it will not provide all that energy which it must provide. So food, if it's nourishing, if it's good, the body, it's beneficial for the body. The same thing, the same way, there is a food required for the soul, and that is halal. And if that halal is given to the soul, you find that a better service can be provided. If a person has his belly filled with halal, he will enjoy his worship, he will enjoy fasting, he will enjoy serving Allah, the body of Allah. But if that belly was filled with najis or haram, they say that someone who has consumed al-iyadu billah liquor, a sip of it, says for 40 days his du'as will not be accepted. Just for one sip. Or says that if someone knowingly consumes haram, that is, we knew that this burger is najis, because we were hungry, we ate it, says for 40 days du'as will not be accepted. For 40 days salat will not be accepted. Now for this prayer, so much of importance has been given that we have to invest so much, maybe one of the prayers is accepted. And out of this whole lifetime, we repeated this hadith so many times that Ma'asul says that out of all of your prayers, if just one or two were accepted by Allah, all the faulty prayers will be corrected as the result of this one correct prayer which you have performed throughout your lifetime. So it seems to be a very big challenge that we have to say our prayers correctly at least one or two in our lifetime. So here Imam says, Bi'sat-ta'am al-haram, that is, the worst of foods is that which is sought from haram. And then says, وَذُلْمُ الضَّعِيفِ أَفْحَشُ الظُّلْمُ, and that is, the worst of oppressions. We've got oppressions, oppression means zulm. Zulm could be of anything. If I don't say my, don't do my wajibat, it's a zulm, it's an oppression which I have inflicted onto my soul, a wrong that I have done, as a result of which I need to be punished because of that zulm. And there are zulm that are committed in a community to other members, sometimes maybe one to one, sometimes maybe one to more than one, and sometimes the zulm which is on a larger scale than what we have in the occupied territories here in this world today. And Imam says, وَذُلْمُ الضَّعِيفِ أَفْحَشُ الظُّلْمِ, that is, oppressing someone who is weak, that is the worst of all the oppressions. Someone who is weak, and there that glorious saying of the Holy Prophet, and also Amir al-Mu'mineen, on many occasions we find that he says that someone who raises his cry, saying that, Ya Allah al-Muslimin, help, I'm in need of help, and if you do not respond to his call, to her call, Rasulullah says, فَلَيْسَ لِمُسْلِمْ, this person who has raised the cry and call, and you do not respond to his call, that person is not a Muslim. If he hears it and he doesn't help him in whatever way, in whatever manner, that individual is not a Muslim. And then it says, وَالْفَاحِشَةُ كَإِسْمِهَا. Fahisha means indecency. And the applicable of this fahisha is adultery. And for that, Quran also has mentioned a punishment in this dunya, that is, God forbid, if someone was seen or was caught with that crime, with that sin, deserves 100 lashes. I mean, and if it was to do with someone who was married and that crime was committed, deserves a capital punishment, needs to be killed, needs to be stoned. So all these punishments are there for that sin. Says that, and a detested act, it's like its name, and that is the adultery which Imam talks about over here. And then says, وَالتَّصَبُّرَ عَلَى الْمَكْرُوهِ يَعْصِمُ الْقَلْبِ. Now throughout our life, we come across all these unpleasant situations. Makruh means anything which Allah has asked us to be away from it. Says that is makruh. So these unpleasant situations, or these makruhat that we have, being patient, confronting that makruh, that detestable act, says that will protect your heart. That will be protection for your heart, which will keep it at rest. And then Imam comes to this point and says, وَإِنْ كَانَ الرِّفْقُ خُرْقًا كَانَ الْخُرْقُ رِفْقًا وَرُبَّمَا كَانَ الدَّوَاءُ دَاءً وَالدَّاءُ دَوَاءً. That is, in situations where being tough is being tolerance, being difficult and tough is being tolerance. Now, what Imam exactly wants to mention over here is that sometimes situations rise in a community. For example, to understand this in simple words, if we have a criminal who has committed horrendous crimes, Imam says, although the initial instructions are that we have to have mercy on each other, and the title given to the Prophet is Rahmatul Lil Alameen, that is, he is all compassion, he is all mercy. Now, is it as such that he has to be all compassion and all mercy all the time? That is, if, for example, Saddam is brought in the presence of Amir al-Mu'mineen, will he say that, okay, you've done wrong, next time behave? Is that how you deal with someone of that band, a criminal? Says, to such a person you have to be harsh. You have to be difficult, you have to be miserable, you have to be tough. Says, that is kindness to that person. And sometimes when it is said that when you curse an enemy, it isn't as such that you are being unkind to him. In reality, if you analyze it, you are being kind to him. That is, if you curse him and you pray that he be killed in this world, that is, the more that person, if he has, he was to live longer, his Jahannam also will be hotter. and more punishments will be seen. So if Yazid dies quicker, it means that he will be safe from an eternal punishment. So lesser punishment he will see. Someone, criminals of this caliber, the quicker they depart, the better for them. So that is why we say that cursing someone, it's good for him because he will see lesser punishment. So here says that if someone has committed crimes of that large scale, on that large scale, to such people you have to be tough, you have to be harsh. Imam says if you were harsh and difficult to these people, that is tolerance in them, for them. But to someone who is of a different nature, a child for example, he does wrong. So here you don't deal with that child the same way you deal with someone who has committed all those crimes. So there is a difference that has to be observed, that tolerance in that case is different, tolerance in this case is different. And if you deal the two, the first one in a tough and a difficult way, Imam says that is kindness to him. And to the child, if you deal him in a better way, that is kindness to that child. So that has to be observed. And then Imam says that رُبَّمَا كَانَ الدَّوَاءُ دَاءً وَالدَّاءُ دَوَاءً, that many a times throughout your life you will see that situations that cure is pain, and sometimes pain becomes cure. That is, in our life we see afflictions, they pour down all of a sudden. It isn't as such that Allah is being unkind. Or if for example someone dies all of a sudden in our family, may Allah protect all, and especially all those who are ill and ailing, may shifa be granted to each one of them. If a loved one departs, it doesn't mean that Allah is being unkind. Or if someone falls ill, it doesn't mean that Allah wants to show his wrath to this person, as a result of which he has afflicted this person with pain, with illness, with diseases, with disasters, etc. No. That Imam says over here that sometimes you find that this pain, it's cure itself. It's like that example which has been mentioned repeatedly, that when a mother gives a bitter medicine to a baby, it's not because she hates the baby or she is unkind. She wants the baby to get well. She gives that bitter medicine. She may give shots to that baby, injections, not because she wants to harm him, but for the baby to get well. The same thing over here says sometimes pain is cure for you, sometimes cure is pain for you. That is, if a person is granted all the safety, all the security, all the cure, he may get away. And we find in Quran that regarding war, people don't like wars, people don't like fighting. Because it's got all that bloodshed, it's got all those pains and afflictions, disturbance, etc. Quran says, but that is good for you. That is, that battle is good for you, fighting is good for you. Why? As a result of the battle that has unfolded upon you, you get to know what exactly you need, how to combat, how to fight your enemies. If your enemy is shutting that motorway, that highway, and you wouldn't allow you to pass from there, and there are so many sanctions on you, avoiding you to pass that highway, because the enemy has done that, we come from another route. And that another route will get us to our destination faster, quicker, and much more cost-effective, cheaper. So enemy is good. Shaitan is also, in a way, is good. So if we know this shaitan, who he is, what he is doing, we can find our way and get to our destination quicker in a different way. The same way, أَعْضَى عَدُوَّكَ نَفْسَكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْنَ, that inner enemy that we have, if we fight him and we know him, we can get to our destination in a better and quicker way. And says that وَرُبَّمَا كَانَ الدَّوَاءُ دَاءً وَالدَّاءُ دَوَاءً وَرُبَّمَا نَسَحَ غَيْرُ النَّاسِحِ وَغَشَّ الْمُسْتَنْسِحِ. And Imam says, and many a times you find that an advisor is one from whom one never expected. Sometimes people, you would come across, now this is something we learn a lot. We may have been attending majalis, meetings, gatherings from many, many decades. And we may have been listening to many of these topics repeatedly. But a time comes that what we've been listening to from so many years, so many different speakers, all of a sudden a window opens and we tend to understand what exactly that means. So one of the names we find given to Quran, one of the names given to Ma'sumin, one of the names given to Rasulullah is Zikr, reminder. That is, he reminds us. Many of these things, they are hidden in us, we forget in this day-to-day life. When these things are repeated over and over again, they get polished, and one time comes that we understand what exactly is being mentioned. The same ayah that was repeated so many times, maybe after 1,000 times, we tend to understand what exactly it means. So here Imam says that sometimes you find that an advisor is one, you get an advice from someone from whom you never had expected, and sometimes it's the other way around. That is, from whom we expect to get advice, we don't get any advice. And this is something we have to look into very carefully as to what is the source of this rizq that gets to this soul of ours. We are not allowed to get any information from anyone. Teachings were clear, if you recall your memories, in that advice to Abazar, the Holy Prophet mentions the criteria that who that person should be, from where you should be getting this knowledge. Because that quote from Amir al-Mu'mineen says that مَنْ عَلَّمَنِي حَرْفًا فَقَدْ سَيَّرَنِي عَقْدًا. That is, if you learn something, a word from someone, it is as if you have entered slavery of that person, just because he's taught you one word. So be careful from where you get that word. If you get that word from the right source and you become the source, slave of that right source, doesn't matter. Because that will ultimately get you to God. But if that source wasn't right, and you got that information, then there is something that we have to worry. So that is, and it was mentioned, that the doors that lead to the hell are seven. Inputs to the soul that we have are seven too. Two eyes, nose, mouth, and the two private parts, and the ears, seven. So if these seven inputs to the soul are secure, soul also will be secure, will be safe. Don't listen to anything, don't see anything, don't eat everything, and don't hear anything, everything. So Imam, and in one of the quotes that we have from the Urafa, they say that if you are sincere and you want to know what haqiqat is, Allah will make an avail for you such that the doors, the walls, the ceilings, they become your ustad. And it happens. It is, you want to get to the haqiqat, to the right destination, and you are sincere in your claim and your desires, Allah will open up for you. Now, actions were mentioned by Amir al-Mu'mineen. That is, like a bad food which does not nourish the human body, sins are also actions that will pollute the soul of an individual. And if these actions that are wrong are a lot in our lifetime, we find that gradually we will distance even from the good. Prayers, they are good. For us to be closer to prayers, we also have to be clean. Mouth has to be clean. Stomach has to be clean. Atmosphere where we are living in has to be clean. Not everything has to be heard, not everything has to be seen. Eyes have to be under control. And here Imam says the worst of oppressions is that oppression a person sees or does to someone who is weak, someone who is da'if. Now, regarding controlling ourselves, looking into the performance of the noble, for example, Ayatullah al-Azmah Sayyid Qazi Tabatabai, one of the great personalities, ustad of many of the present Urafa and even Allama Tabatabai, etc. For 20 years, he says that I controlled my sight so that I don't even cast a look at a non-mahram for 20 years. He says it took 20 years, and after that, whenever a non-mahram was to come his way, automatically his eyes they used to close shut. 20 years of training, as a result of that, that karamat was given to him, that the eyes were under his control. So that is possible. It isn't as such that these were people who were from aliens, from the moon or from the where. No. It's the instructions given to you and me that we have to control ourselves. And then, it's after all these teachings that Imam has, says that when it comes to dealing with others, It shouldn't be as such that you deal with everyone in the same way, you use the same cane and the same stick to beat a criminal and to beat the child. No. Here says that someone who has committed lots of crimes, you can't just say that he has said Astaghfirullah and he wants to repent and we accept. In one of these cases that were brought to the presence of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu was salam, this person is brought after all these crimes were committed and he says, I'm sorry. Imam says, Sakalatka ummuk, may your mother cry on you, meaning that may you die. And then says, Atadri mal istighfar, do you know what istighfar means? So Imam is strong, although the instructions are that you have to be compassionate. Says, compassion, in this case it's like that, but you have to be tough and difficult on this person. On the second day of Muharram, when this tragedy was unfolded by Hur, we find that there is a heated debate between Aba Abdullah and Hur. And after the prayers were said, here we find that Aba Abdullah, he's sharp at Hur. And then says, Sakalatka ummuk, that is, may your mother cry on you, Hur. So he was strong, the words were strong. And look at that adab of Hur in return. Hur says, you said that to my mother, but I can't say that to your mother. Your mother is Zahra, your mother is Sayyidatul Nisa'il Alameen. So that was that adab we find in Hur that changed him. But on the other side, we find that Imam is strong at him. Says, because he was a criminal at that point, who has served in a way that the whole tragedy is unfolding, all this shahadat of Abu Abdullah, it was Hur who planned it, who designed it in a way. 72 that were killed, it was him. So it was a big crime. So Imam, to him at that point, he is strong, he is sharp. Says that to people of that caliber, you have to be strong. But to someone who is not like that, you have to be kind. Then Imam comes to this point and says that إِيَّاكَ وَالْإِتِّكَالْ عَلَى الْمُنَى. That is, refrain from relying on long hopes. Now what does that mean? We talked a lot about hope, having hope in Allah. That is good. That we have to be hopeful, we have to be optimistic in the presence of Allah. But at the same time, Imam says don't have long hopes. Muna means hopes. That is, I have never-ending hopes for myself. That is, I want something in this world to be done for myself and then continue and continue and continue. So this could be in two dimensions. First of all, for example, want to get a lot of wealth from haram sources. So the answer to this is no. But sometimes we want to get a lot of wealth from the right sources to make, for example, a center to serve people, so that the community can be served, etc., etc. So this is good. It's a long hope, it's a desire, it is good. Sometimes it is as such that I want to get all that wealth so that I have a huge big palace. And with all those luxuries, with all that lavish lifestyle, etc., etc., that too, although it's not haram, but according to akhlaq and ethics, that is not also acceptable. It's not praised, it's disliked. So that is muna, long hopes, never-ending hopes. And for that it is said that it's like this salty water in the ocean or salty water. The more you drink, the more thirsty you are, the more you want to drink. Since that never comes to an end. Imam says, إِيَّاكَ وَالْإِتِّكَالَ عَلَى muna. Don't have long hopes. If you want to have long hopes, to serve a noble cause, doesn't matter. You have to have a plan in your mind, a business plan in your mind. Based upon that, you structure everything outside and you have to work hard. Just having things in my mind and relying on those hopes of mine and doing nothing, that is disliked, that is hated. And for that we find that in Quran, Bani Israel, first of all, Quran says, وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. That is, whatsoever you do, whatsoever you strive and try, you will get to it. If I have a positive idea in my mind and I do it, I'll get to it. But if I have long hopes in my mind, and with this tag that we have, for example, we are Shias, and we will end up in the heaven, we do nothing in this world, that is bad. That tag will not help. Although we believe in Shafa'at, although we believe that Masumin will help, although we believe that Awliyaullah, they will assist us, but there is a criteria, there is a requirement for that. There has to be something in my pocket first for me to request a top-up. If it's a total empty pocket, then that top-up also will, a refill also will not be of any use. So we have to have a bottle which is getting empty and a refill is required, we refill it. If there is no bottle at all, then where do you want to get that refill from? So that is the concept of Shafa'at we have. Looking into Quran, we find that Bani Israel, they said, وَقَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارِ إِلَّا أَيَّامٌ مَعْدُودًا. Bani Israel, they used to say that this fire, Jahannam, it will not burn us. And if we were to be burnt in Jahannam, it's going to be for a very small duration of time. Why is it that? They said, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهُ وَأَحِبَّاءً. That is, we are the sons of God and we are the beloved and those who are exalted, who Allah loves a lot. For that reason, that fire will not punish us, will not burn us, and if it is to burn us, it's going to be for that short duration of time. Quran says, that is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. It's their hopes, it's their long hopes which will not be met. So these long hopes, negative hopes of building things, constructing things, based upon what we have in our minds, imagination is good, we have to have some imagination. But imagination, and then it's not a constructive imagination, a destructive one, that is hatred, that is dislike. Or the best example, it's regarding these Jews. It says, قُلْحَاتُ قُلْحَانُكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. That is, if your claim is right, then you have to see what your proofs are. If you have proofs that you can rely on, yes, okay. The same thing is with us. If with this claim that we are Shias and we will not be punished and we will be sent to the heaven, these claims will be addressed, we will be addressed as تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. That is, these are just your false long hopes. So, long hopes, Imam says, keep away from them, don't rely on them, as they will just ruin you and you will come to an end with nothing in hand. May Allah, the Barak wa ta'ala, in these last moments of this sacred month of Ramadan, forgive us all the wrong that was done by us in this month or before this month, throughout my life. Ilahi, by your grace, by your mercy, by your rahmah, and by the mediation of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, forgive us. Ya Allah, all those who are ill and ailing, grant them shifa. All those who have passed away, especially from among our relatives, family members, and our ancestors, whosoever they are, wheresoever they were, Ya Allah, elevate their ranks, forgive them, and grant higher and higher ranks and positions to them in the hereafter. Ya Allah, all those who have rights on us and who we do not know where they are, forgive them as well. Ya Allah, make it as such that we be enlisted among the best of supporters and servants of the Imam of Time, and our children for generations to come, for the generations to come, to be enlisted among the best of Muslims who ever exist. As-salamu alayka ya sahib al-zaman. As-salamu alayka ya shariq al-Quran. As-salamu alayka ya imam al-insi wal-jan. Ajjala Allah ta'ala farajak. Wasahhala Allah ta'ala makhrajak wa zuhurak. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Amma.